This is the I Read Comic Books podcast, the very best podcast for regular comic book fans. I'm your host, Mike Rappin. Joining me this week, a really cool guy and some other guy, Danny from the Next Issue podcast.
Hello, everyone.
And Brian Murray.
Generic greeting.
Thank you both for joining me today. I'm really excited to talk comic books because I wasn't here last week. I was at C2E2 with our good friend Paul. We recorded something really fun that we threw on the Patreon. It's going to go live on our main feed, I think, later this month. But we put it up on Patreon if you want to listen to that now, where Paul and I basically spent 3 days in Chicago. We were exhausted. We had maybe had a couple beers. We hung out with some people. It was a total blast. And then we talked about like the experience of being at the convention and our continued love of comic books, our reinvigorated love of like the con scene and just everything around. It's a really positive, fun conversation. So if you get a chance, go check that out. It's a lot of fun. But like I said, it'll be in the main feed, I think, later this month. I don't remember when I scheduled it, but it'll be out there. But it is on Patreon. But anyways, today, we're here to talk about our good pal, Danny. This is one of our very cool new series of episodes that we're doing that are focusing on one of our individual panelists going in reverse order from when they joined the IRCB roster. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. But before we get into it, on May 19th, we're going to be live on Twitch, 8 p.m. Eastern time. Paul, Danny, and I are going to be talking comics. It's going to be live on Twitch. It's going to be a lot of fun because you get to be live with us and hang out and chat just like you do we do on the Discord. But it's different when randos can just like jump into the Twitch chat and they're just like, what the hell is going on here? And we get to, you know, have a little bit of fun there. So that's going to be cool. But next week's episode, I'll talk about this at the end of the episode, is like a pre-recorded episode. So no live episode on Discord. But anyways, we're here to talk about comics. I got two legally mandated questions that I've got to ask. And that is, how have you been? How have comic books been? Let's start with you, Danny.
Mike, I've been doing very well. This is being recorded on the weekend of two of my highest holidays combined into one. Free Comic Book Day was yesterday as of recording of this on May 4th. And also May the 4th, which is Star Wars Day. So like, I didn't know which way to go. When I woke up, I was like, what am I more excited about, free comics or Star Wars? And it turns out it was both. So
so you painted your face to look like Darth Maul, but you wore a Batman shirt to the comic book shop. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Awesome. Awesome.
But it was great. I want to thank my local shops, especially after discussing in the Discord how much other people were kind of struggling to like get free comics, like whether it was a long line or a limitation. I got all the books that I wanted. I walked in and out of my shop and hung around for like, I am truly, truly blessed with the shop that I have because they were just very cool about like, yeah, take whatever you want. You know, I mean, I'm there all the time. So like, yeah, but this was for everyone. They just wanted to really get people into comics. And also it was a very good free comic book. They like publishers. I feel like they went all out this year in comparison to prior years. Not just the, you know, the big two always put out a bunch of stuff because they're promoting their summer stuff, but like, yeah, all these other smaller publishers, they're like, oh, we got stuff coming up too, here you go, or we've done some really cool stuff, let me reprint it and gift it out to you so you can get into it.
Nice.
So
nice.
Yeah, I hope everybody got to go to the shop and picked up some cool stuff and is excited about some more upcoming comic books.
You know, it's a really good sign that people's shops have lines for these types of things, because I think that is like a reminder. Sometimes maybe we forget it, like maybe your Wednesdays aren't super packed every week, or when you go, like I go to my shop on Saturdays usually, like, and there's usually not a lot of people there, but it's always busy on Free Comic Book Day, which means that people are still interested in comics, and that's so exciting. Like, it's good that even if it means they're just there to get the free comic books, they're at least curious, right? And if that curiosity can spiral, you know, into more wanting to read comics or saying, oh, I'm actually going to check that book out that this is a preview for, like, that's all good and very exciting. I'm like a very positive spin off about comic books after last weekend, so like I'm all for it. Like, I love this stuff. But it's good to hear that your shop had everything, because again, I know we talked about in the Discord, a lot of shops were like out of things by like 11 or 12. So yeah, that's cool.
I think we need a comics curious shirt to put on the shop.
Yeah, like, I love comics, I hate comics, I'm comics curious. Yeah, that's and then we'll check that. I like that.
I experimented with comics in college.
Yes.
Okay. But I did read something, and as I mentioned, big events are starting to happen for the summer rollout. So I, of course, had to jump into Marvel's new thing. Blood Hunt #1, If you like vampires, you're going to want to read this one. This is written by Jed McKay, with art by Pepe Larraz, colors by Marte Gracia, letters by Corey Petit. The overall story is like this big cloud of darkness covers up the sun, and then vampires just begin to attack the Marvel Universe. We don't know who's cool. behind all this. We don't know, you know, if we're going to be able to stop them. This issue is, it's really fun. Like, this is what I want out of a summer event, at least for the first one. But before I get into the little minutia of the issue, I want to talk a little bit about comic publication and scheduling, because this is, boy, oh boy, I'm going to try to make it as succinct as possible. So for Free Comic Book Day, Marvel released a Blood Hunt special. If you're on Patreon, you can check out, I'm holding up the book right now. So go check out our Patreon, but they released a Blood Hunt special that is supposed to happen before the main event that released on Wednesday. So like that feels like it was kind of out of order. And then I also picked up this week Vengeance of the Moon Knight number 5, which also leads right up into Blood Hunt, but I didn't know I had to read Moon Knight first. It didn't ruin anything for me, but I really would have loved that experience of like, oh, I'm reading Moon Knight, and then the last few pages of that is the first few pages of the Blood Hunt event. Like, that would have been really cool to kind of transition into that.
Are you saying that they released Blood Hunt number 1 and then they released this Moon Knight issue?
It came out on the same day. I just didn't know. I wasn't aware. I guess maybe some people plan their comic reading better and have a list. Sure. I didn't, because I was like, okay, I'll read Blood Hunt number 1 and then at the end it'll give me a list of like things I got to read. And it did. And then it said Vengeance of the Moon Knight. I was like, oh, crap.
You mean that Marvel wasn't clear about reading order or what books you had to get for this massive crossover?
Yeah. The second really interesting thing is that they released two versions of this book, a normal version and a red band version, which means the red band version is more mature and full of like more violence and stuff. So when I redeemed my digital form, they give you the regular version, even if you buy the red band. So that version only exists physically. And I looked at both of them. I compared them. You definitely do get extra stuff in the other one, in the red band. And you get some, like, they replace panels that are more violent and gruesome. So I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. I think they're going to do that for the full series. So Marvel has found a way to make people buy the same comic twice.
Damn it.
Again, without even a variant cover. Although it does come in a little poly bag. So, but... The event itself, pretty exciting. Jed McKay's kind of been building this since he took over Moon Knight and Doctor Strange. And that was like a couple of years ago. So like vampires have been coming into the Marvel Universe for a little while. I would say after Hickman, Jed McKay probably is like the leading writer at Marvel. He's doing so many things, and he's writing the Avengers book, and that kind of overall drives where the stories are going for a lot of this. So, I mean... You know, doing those three books. And then you have Pepe Larraz, who's one of my favorite artists that did a lot of X-Men stuff. I think, to me, he was one of the top artists just that worked on all the Krakoa stuff. And now he's working on this. So, like, really cool stuff. It gets really violent sometimes. Just very gnarly images. So, like, if you want a really... It's not like The Boys where it's just like guts everywhere, but it's still vampires, right? So
sure.
I'll definitely continue to read this. Keep you guys updated. If you're in the Discord, I'll let you know which times to check out too. Because I know not everybody has the time to go 20 books deep into an event.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm very excited. This is kind of like the summer blockbuster season for me. I know DC is doing its own thing later on. So just really looking forward to both of those things.
Yeah. So the Blood Hunt book is about vampires. How involved is Blade in this series?
Oh, he is deep into it. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Central. He's not in the Avengers roster anymore, but he's definitely a central part of the story.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I only say that because I feel like when I was talking to someone at C2E2 last weekend, they were like, I don't know what Blade has been up to. And this whole new arc is going to be all about this whole new event's going to be all about vampires. Like, how is he going to play them? So it's good to hear that Blade is front and central, because one, I love Blade.
Yeah.
Thank you, Wesley Snipes, for making those movies. And two, like, I can't imagine they do a vampire story without involving Blade in some capacity. So it's good to hear. Good that they're checking the boxes.
Yeah.
It's funny. I'm replaying the Marvel Midnight Suns video game right now.
Oh, nice, nice.
Because I picked up all the DLC for it, so I'm doing that. And the DLC is all like vampire related.
Ooh, a little synergy.
I didn't know what to expect. I was like, they're introducing like Deadpool, Venom, Storm, and Morbius as playable characters.
Okay.
And the whole thing is like, actually, Hydra is creating these new vampires who are bad.
Interesting.
Oh, and I know that, I think, Brian, you've been reading the Blade series, right? The Brian Hill stuff, the latest stuff.
No.
Oh, I thought you had it on your
I read one. I oh, read, okay, like, got the it, first got it. Volume.
But... Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's really good. It's really good. If I recommend it to you. So if you want to know, I'm not caught up with it, so I can't tell you how Blade ran right into this, but I can tell you Casagrande is drawing that, and amazing artist too. So very cool stuff.
Yeah, I don't do anything with any consistency.
Fair. That's fair.
Well, I guess that's perfect. Let's lead right into whatever you've been reading, Brian, which maybe doesn't connect to anything you've read before in the past. So how have you been? How have comic books been?
I've been good. Despite my sleep schedule being completely inverted at this point.
Okay.
Like as Kara can attest, I was texting her at 3 a.m. about the finale of The Bad Batch. And then she texted me back when she woke up, and then I responded because I was still awake.
Oh, jeez.
She's like, when do you sleep? I was like, I don't really anymore. But I used my insomnia for good and read some comics at 2 in the morning, including Miss Marvel, The New Mutant. This is the one written by Iman Vellani and Sabir Pirzada, art by Carlos Gomez and Adam Gorham, and colors by Eric Arciniega. Iman Vellani, who you may remember, is the actor who plays Kamala Khan in the MCU. And you're not going to believe this, guys, but I jumped into this Marvel book with no context, and I was confused.
Oh.
And it actually wasn't that bad. But as far as, like, jumping blindly into a Marvel book, this is probably the easiest time that I've had.
Mm-hmm.
In part because Kamala's friend Bruno is there, and he also doesn't know what's going on.
Oh,
so
perfect.
at least I felt seen by the book. The thing that confused me was when the brief moments where the X-Men were there,
mm-hmm.
because the whole point of this book is, I guess, spoilers for Miss Marvel. Kamala Khan sacrificed herself at one point and then woke up on Krakoa, having been reincarnated by their weird pods. And that's how she found out that she's an Inhuman and a mutant, which definitely was funny considering that, like, her like mashing characters together for fan fiction was a part, and just like, this is my OC Kamala Khan, who is an Inhuman and a mutant. Do not steal. She's on the Avengers and the Champions.
Right. Right. Self-insert character who is yeah. every single thing. Yeah.
Which is funny. And the book, like the way they play it off, like Kamala knows that it's weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like she acknowledges, like, I don't even know what this means. So it gets a pass on that in my book.
I mean, Brian, when I think about it, technically it should be impossible based off of previous X-Men lore, but we'll just leave it be for now. So
yeah, about
continue.
How the Terrigen Mist kills mutants.
Yeah.
Only if your X gene has been awoken, guys. Come on, this is straightforward stuff.
But the X gene. All right, I'm not gonna do this. Continue, Brian. Parents. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The idea of the plot of this book is that Kamala is working as a spy for the X-Men, made entirely of characters that I hadn't seen before, by the way, except for Kate Pryde, okay. Who is a ninja now.
Has she been
a ninja for a while?
Well, she was a ninja in the past. After she left Professor, you know, she said, Professor Xavier is a jerk, and she walked away. I think she became Shadowcat, and that was more of a, I have katanas, and I wear a thing, and, you know, over my face. Yeah, she's been a ninja.
Okay. And then there was the mashup Colossus and Magic character, who is apparently from the future.
Yeah, Rasputin 4. Yeah. I'm just going to say that, and you can continue to shake your head, Brian. Yeah. It's fine.
There's not enough time to explain what I know. 4.
But that's okay, because at least there was a nice, easily identifiable bad guy, Orcus, who I've never heard of in my life. But honestly, like, the selling point on this book, I don't think is going to be like the plot or anything like that. It's not a bad plot by any means. I'm certainly not saying that. But the thing that really got me with this book was how well it was written. Like, Velani and Pirzada, like, they nailed the character of Miss Marvel, which, I mean, go figure, right? Like, the woman who has been playing her for years now has a good handle on how this character acts.
Yeah.
I believe Pirzada writes on the Miss Marvel show, and that's kind of how the idea of them working together came to be. So you're right. Sick. This is like, oh, the two experts on the subject? Sure. They should do fine on a book.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, there's it's the humor. Like, it's not joke after joke after joke after joke, but when it is funny, it really hits.
Nice.
They play off the stuff that you don't understand, that if you're like me and you haven't been reading, you might not understand. They play it off in such a way that it just kind of, like, they roll through it. Like, they mention, like, oh yeah, Tony Stark is married and it's to Emma Frost.
Currently, yeah, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing that I had forgotten about that. Mm-hmm. And when she was like, Tony Stark, a married man, this I gotta see. And I was like, oh, did he marry Pepper in the comics? And then they cut to Emma Frost. And I was like, oh, right. That whole thing.
It happened.
But we only dwell on that for like a page. And then we're back to her having dreams where her fan fiction characters are trying to tell her something. Truly, like, some of the more terrifying, like, stress dream imagery I've seen in a comic, where, like, all of the teams she's been on are, like, saying her name and, like, trying to get her to come back, and then at one point it's all those characters and they all have her face. Ugh. And just seeing, like, Wolverine and Captain America and all these people with Kamala Khan's face on it is definitely, like, a thing that would keep me up at night, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I read a little bit of this, and I think one of the interesting parts of it is that now that people hate mutants, right, in this stage, so, like, Miss Marvel kind of has to keep that hidden for the moment because she already faces a lot of prejudice already, like, being an Inhuman and being a Muslim, saying, like, there's already a lot going against her, so now adding the mutant stuff on top. But it's very interesting. It's a lot of fun, like Brian said. I'm glad that you didn't really bump into, like, all the continuity garbage that's kind of holding the book back. So I'm glad you enjoyed a lot of it, because I think that's a good entry point, and that's what Marvel wanted to do, right? Reintroduce this character to the people. So
yeah, I mean, maybe it's just because I've built up a tolerance over the years to just kind of rolling with the punches when it comes to reading these, like, random one-off volumes of Marvel comics. But didn't stress me out at all trying to figure out, like, where this fit or anything like that.
Nice.
What about you, Mike? How have you been? How have comics been?
Oh, you know, I was at C2E2 last weekend, which is a blast. Paul and I met up with some folks from the Discord, which was cool. Hello, Hugh. Hello, Ricardo. Ricardo, I know you don't listen to the show, but I appreciate that you're on the Discord. Which you can, if you're listening to this, come join the Discord. But yeah, it was a great time. Met a ton of creators, hung out with a bunch of people, and just, like, had a fantastic time walking the convention floor, buying Pokemon cards, because of course I did, and finding and resisting the urge to spend way too much money on variant covers. I have no real interest in variant covers until there's just, like, a bunch of them in front of me, and then I'm just like, well, if that's all you're selling, then maybe I'll just get 3 or 4 or 5 of them for $10 each. And then Paul, like, had to restrain me and pull me away so we could go talk to other people. But it was a really, really good time. I walked a ton, and it was just, like, overall fantastic experience, really, really good vibes. Like, overall, the con felt really well organized, which helps, like, alleviate a lot of stress, right? I think if you can easily make your way around to different things, like to get from a panel to the floor and back and forth, they really nailed it this year, which I think is different than previous years. So I was very happy with that. But since then, I genuinely haven't read a lot of comic books because I'm in the middle of a Delicious and Dungeon reread, which is amazing. Watching the manga or excuse me, watching the anime right now, and it's been very, very fun. And I'm going on the Comics That We Love very soon. We're going to talk about the first three volumes, and then in July I'm doing like a Delicious in Dungeon like rap party thing with some folks that I used to work with at Comixology, where the entire series is going to be ending with volume 14. So I'm trying to get ahead of rereading the entire series over the next like month or two. So yeah, haven't read a lot, but I did read one book that I want to talk about, which I picked up at C2E2. It's an indie book published by Koki Miura. It's a book called Limerence, and it's basically a story about a sad boy who travels across the world to France because he's maybe definitely in love with a woman that he's trying to find, but he doesn't know how to express it. And it's not one of these like, I don't know how to tell you that I love you. It's one of these like, him and this woman have had a very close relationship. We see in flashbacks, and he clearly hasn't been able to express how he truly feels about her. And so when he shows up in Paris, she's kind of like, oh, I'm excited that you're here. I knew that you were going to come visit me.
Buddy.
Yeah. It's kind of like she knew he was kind of going to come see her, but she didn't understand why. And he can't get the words out. And the book itself is a little, it has some clunky dialogue, but on the whole, it's so beautifully drawn. Like the expressions, the way that like each panel is laid out to try to evoke these different emotions that this character is feeling, the main character in the book, it's so well done. Like it's mostly a black and white book, with the exception of like this red band this neckerchief that the main character wears, and
mascot is this character Fred from Scooby-Doo?
No, it's like a very baggy stylish thing that you wear on your neck. I don't remember what the name of that thing is, but I'm glad you clarified.
We don't want to start getting emails about fashion. Like,
yeah, please. Kara is producing today or proof listening today. She's screaming, I'm sure, in the background. But it's a black and white book with the exception of this one red color that we see throughout the book. And it's really interesting because you always know who this character is. Like even in far distant shots, you see this thing around his neck. And it's not until the very end of the book when like the emotion of the character and like his interaction with this woman, like, finally comes to fruition that we actually get like huge explosions of color on the page. I think it's super well done for a book, a comic that you can read online for free. I'll post a link of this in the show notes. It's a really beautiful little book just about the inability to truly express yourself. You can go through life not telling people how you feel and it will destroy you on the inside. And like, I'm maybe putting a little bit of just like the extremeness of these emotions into my reading of the book, but that's what I took away from it. And I was really just impressed with how well done this book looks and feels overall. Like it's peak comic books from a creator that I've never heard of, who's only done a couple of different things. Is like a freelance creator. So I was really, really impressed. I saw this book sitting at their booth and I like paged through it and I just said, oh, okay, I would like to buy this now. I'm very excited to read this. So I'm glad that I sat down and read it because it was really fun. So yeah, if you get a chance, go check this out on Koki's website. You can read it for free or you can buy a copy from them maybe online, but it's great.
Kara has confirmed that he is in fact wearing a scarf.
A scarf. That's the word for it, guys. Welcome. I apologize. My brain is a little fried. I woke up this morning, walked a 5K, and then walked around to find, I think I ate 6 empanadas for lunch. So I'm like, I'm running on all sorts of weird energy today. But let's move on.
You lost me a scarf. You got me back at empanadas, Mike.
Yeah. See, let's move on though. Let's talk about books that are on the top of your pile on comics that are new or old or just whatever. I want to shout out the folks that are hanging out with us on Discord today. One person on the Discord today, Hugh, is reading The Last Mermaid #3. We talked to the creator of this book when we were there. Hugh and I, we were walking the show floor for a minute. Coolest guy around. Really, really cool guy. Gave us a bunch of stickers. Was very excited that we've talked about this book on the show previously. So it was a really cool experience. But he was reading that. I'm also going to be reading that next, but that is not what's on the top of my pile. But let me kick things over to Brian. What is on the top of your pile?
You're never going to believe this, guys. I picked a Star Wars book.
Oh,
off the top of my pile.
For May the 5th? Really?
I know. May the 4th.
Oh, wait, that was yesterday. Never mind.
Yeah, Cinco de Mayo is not the Star Wars holiday. That's a different thing.
It could Revenge be, of the though. 5th.
Revenge of the Fifth.
Oh,
there we go.
It is.
Okay.
This is written by Charles Sewell, art by Luke Ross, colors by Alex Sinclair. Somehow this is a Star Wars book that I know nothing about going into it.
Mm.
I'm guessing that it has to do with like 000 and the other evil droid from the Dr. Aphra books.
Yeah.
But I don't actually know anything about it, and that's kind of exciting. I fell off reading Star Wars comics a while back. I don't really know why. It wasn't like a choice that I made. It just kind of happened.
It's because you love the High Republic, right? That's what it was.
Yeah, maybe it was just like I don't have the energy to absorb all of this new lore right now.
Yeah, maybe.
But this I'm picking up in part because in a lot of the conversations that Kara and I have about Star Wars, it all comes back to droids and like how weird and fucked up it is that like droids exist, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're these artificial living creatures that are like made and then given sentience, given the ability to feel fear and pain, and then enslaved.
Well, Brian, Kara, you're gonna like this book. I tell you that.
That's good. This is the droids rights book we've been looking for.
Yeah, if that's your stance on droids rights, you're gonna love this book. At least the beginning of it. That's what I read.
I picked up the audiobook for they did this series. It was for like the, I don't remember, the 25th or 30th anniversary, whatever. Doesn't matter. They did a thing where they did short stories set like during the timelines of the original trilogy. So they got just a whole bunch of different writers to write short stories. And the one for Return of the Jedi came out not that long ago. And there's a story from the point of view of Jabba's torture droid. One that is like torturing other droids in the basement of Jabba's palace. And that kind of like got me back on my droid bullshit.
Hell yeah.
I got this book on Hoopla and somehow they fucked up the formatting on it. Like somebody thought this was manga or something because you still read it left to right. Like the comic book that it is, but you have to flip right to left.
Oh man, that would mess with me so hard.
Yeah. So it's definitely like, it's like trying to do two different things with each hand, trying to tell my brain to turn pages like manga and then read like comic.
Right.
A test to your commitment of how much you want to read this book.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, let me talk about what's on the top of my pile this week. I am getting back to my old bullshit, and that is I'm reading The Armory, or excuse me, The... Well, let me talk about what's on the top of my pile this week. I'm getting back to my old bullshit, and I'm reading The Armory Wars, Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, Volume 2, Number 1, because Claudio Sanchez can't write a simple title for a comic book ever. But this is written by Claudio Sanchez and Chandra Eckert, art by Guillaume Martinez and colors by Valentina Bianconi. The summary of this book, I really don't have time to go into all of the Coheed and Cambria, Good Apollo, Amory Wars, whatever.
We will
history.
Be here all day.
We don't have the time. Honestly, Zach McCrary did a really cool series on the Amory Wars comics already. If you want to know, you should go listen to his deep dive that he did. It was very, very good as someone who's a fan and loves these comics. And the extremely complex, like, continuity that they live in. Zach, who went in kind of blind, did a really good job of, like, summing up what happens in the series. So go check out Zach's podcast. But for this issue, for Volume 2, Number 1, this story is about Claudio Kilgannon, who was thought dead by the Red Army, but rising suspicion sends them on a trail to discover his fate. If Claudio is in fact alive, he'll be in dire straits amidst the mystery and mayhem that is yet to unfold. You too, listener, may have noticed what we readers have noticed for a long time, that the main character of this series is also named Claudio, who named after the writer. And Claudio Sanchez, the writer, has said many, many times in numerous interviews that he wishes that he could have written this character away and never have written his own name into the story. But as he was a younger person writing the original, like, concept album stories and songs that was Coheed and Cambria, it's like, oh, we'll just fit Claudio in there because it's kind of a cool sounding name. It's got a melodic sound to it. It works. And now he's like the focus of this entire series and apparently is not a fan of it. Or at least the last interview that I read, he was not a fan of it. But nonetheless, I'm a friggin' madman. I backed this on BackerKit as part of Boom Studios' continued effort to ensure that they get some interest on their super collections of comics that they're not sure if people will actually pony up for. If you've read Amory Wars, maybe you've seen this on the shelf before. These books have been slowly but surely coming out over the last decade from Image, from Boom Studios. Claudio Sanchez had a deal with Boom Studios at one point. It was publishing a couple of other books, such as like Key of Z and Kilgannon. Nonetheless, like I think there's like a very hesitant wondering from Boom Studios' point of view of like, if does anybody even want to read these books? And it turns out the BackerKit was like explosive. They put in, there was a ton of money earned on this campaign. So I'm excited to get like hardcover editions of this book once it completes, as well as hardcover editions of the previous series that are getting republished, which is very exciting. So I'll actually have them in hardcover form rather than just like random floppy issues that I have somewhere hidden in my attic. So I'm excited to read this. I'll probably still check out the single issues as it goes through and wonder what the hell is actually going on, and watch numerous YouTube videos to give me some sort of summary as to everything that led up to this, because I've been reading this series on and off, or this story on and off, for almost 15 years. Like, I was buying the original comics when they were the second stage Turbine Blade, when they were only being sold at like Hot Topic. This goes back so far in my life. But still, I couldn't tell you the story so far off the top of my head, because it is convoluted and it has changed multiple times, because I've read even like the Forbidden Never Talked About, like 68 page graphic novel that they put out about Good Apollo and Burning Star for volume one, which is bonkers, and like no one talks about it. It's never going to be republished, and I have a copy somewhere in my house. But I really like this stuff. I really like Coheed and Cambria on the whole, so like I'm excited for this to like get its final sunset. I think this is like the last thing they're going to publish for this series, so it's the beginning of the end of a 12 issue series. So I'm very hyped.
I'm sure it will actually be the end, and they won't decide to crank out more later.
I mean, they said that they said that Year of the Black Rainbow, I think, was supposed to be their last Coheed and Cambria album, and then they went on to put out three more. So yeah, we'll see. This might be the end of the comic series, though. I can't imagine that they have any more in them, given how hard it's been to get just this series out. So we'll see.
I don't know. You said they made a lot of money earlier on one thing, and I was like, oh, okay, that just means that people want it, right? If the people want to give it to them.
I don't know. I think Boom Studio, I think Boom Studios is doing something very weird and also very interesting with these like BackerKit Kickstarter crowdfunding campaign things that like, there's a lot to ask there. Like, is that the right way to do it? Personally, I'm like, yeah, like you get some guaranteed funding. You get like, you know, that these books are going to be printed to order and stuff. And then you print some extras to sell to retailers and whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of interesting. Like Brandon Sanderson just recently did a humongous Kickstarter. They made like almost like $500,000. This is not the Kickstarter. This is the BackerKit that they did to publish the leather bound editions of Words of Radiance Book 3. But as part of that, you could go and get like the random not announced book, like a random little novella that he wrote as for an extra like $20. And I was like, oh, I'll just get the $20 thing. I don't need a leather bound copy of this fucking book series, but I'll pay $20 for like the digital edition of this other book. Right. And so it's like guaranteed sales on this kind of stuff, skipping over publishers and all that other stuff. But hey, I don't know. There's a lot to talk about there, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, as long it seems like everybody's going into it saying like, this is what I want. This is what we're going to give you. Like everybody seems to be in agreement as to what's about to happen. That's a successful group funding campaign, right?
Yeah.
That's what they all should be. Like everybody's agreed on what's going to happen, and mm-hmm. that's what happens. So,
yeah. It's interesting. But maybe there's definitely more to say there about that. I think we've got an upcoming episode that's going to air in July that we could talk about. Danny, you and I are going to be brainstorming
making notes. As you were talking, I was like, okay, let's touch on stuff.
So. Yeah. But before we go any further, Danny, tell us what's on the top of your pile before we take a quick break.
Well, I'm glad Hugh mentioned Last Mermaid, because I thought about putting that on the top of my pile. And also, if you haven't heard us talk about Last Mermaid, you can go to the YouTube channel. There's a discussion there that we clipped where we just passed 200 subscribers. So thanks for everybody doing that. But this week, I'm going to be reading Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Black, White, and Green number one from IDW Comics. You know what? I've decided that I don't need full color in my comics. I just need one or two, maybe. this book just, so the main series TMNT just wrapped up with the 150th issue. It's about to relaunch with the Alpha issue and then Jason Aaron taking over. But in the meanwhile, IDW is like, oh, we still got stories. People want to write the Turtles. Mm-hmm. So this book has four stories, but by creatives like Declan Shalvey, friends of the show, Dave Baker and Jesse Lonergan, Paulina Ganosho, and Gigi Dutre with Lorenzo Hall. So like, I'm sold. Like,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like, let's do it. This is going to be a series of shorts focusing on different aspects of the Turtles, which are we going to get each one of the stories about each one of the Turtles, or like maybe some side characters, maybe something from the point of view of like the Shredder or Bebop Rocksteady. Like, there's so much. This series could go on forever and I would probably read it. Mm-hmm. Because the thing that stops me from reading Turtles is that I'm not caught up on all the 150 issues that right. came prior to it, right? So yeah, I love these bite-sized stories. Marvel and DC have been doing this type of stuff with their Black, White, and Red or Black, White, and Blood little anthologies for Aliens or Superman or Harley Quinn. Like, everybody can do this. So very exciting. Obviously, the Turtles are green and that's how they make it a little bit different, but like, come on, this is so cool. I'm very excited to read this. I specifically stopped myself from reading it because I wanted to talk about it on the show because IDW did send me a preview of it. But yeah, I'll tell you guys more about it once I get a chance to read it. But yeah, just starting with the, you know, Declan Shalvey doing and drawing the Turtles, I'm like sold. Like, I'll buy the book just for that. But even we get even more stuff with the other amazing creators on this. So,
heck yeah.
Was there a show or a movie or something where Bebop and Rocksteady were voiced by Key and Peele, or did I just make that up?
I think that's just, are you writing fan fiction that we don't know about? What, like,
I,
instead of sleeping, like, maybe you're just writing fan fiction about
I'm fan casting Ninja Turtles movies.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so. I mean, that's great cast. That's great voice casting, I think, on
yeah,
your part,
Yeah, it's kind of
Brian.
A cool idea, though.
Yeah. Kara should let us know in the Discord.
Yeah, Kara says that they might have done that in the most recent animated one.
Well, you know, we're going to take a quick break. And in the break, we're going to research this and get you an answer. But we'll be back to talk in just a second all about our good pal Danny. So we'll be back in a second. For the second half of our show, we're back to our old format. I hope people are excited out there for that, because I know I am, because we get to talk about our good pal Danny. I'm going to answer the question that we asked before the break: who voiced Bebop and Rocksteady? The answer is not Key and Peele.
we don't have the full answer. We just know that what Brian said, it was not a right. thing.
I think Kara said it was Seth Rogen and Mike Cena, or John Cena. Is his name Mike Cena? No, it's John Cena. But it was John Cena and Seth Rogen. So very exciting. But Danny, we're here to talk about you. This is a fun episode. These are these fun panelist episodes that I mentioned at the top of the show, where we're basically looking at Danny. Danny, you've been a part of IRCB for a while now. Your first time you were ever on the show was way, way, way back in Minisode 37. We were still doing Minisodes. This is an episode called We Just Love Dragon Ball, okay? It was me and Renee. We were talking about all things Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super. It was a blast. I think it was like a full culmination of the thing that the three of us really, really love, which is Dragon Ball in general, and Akira Toriyama, rest in peace. I think at the time we were all just super hyped about Dragon Ball. That was really, really fun. Danny, do you have any memories or any thoughts about that first episode?
I remember. So I think what prompted that episode, I believe, was maybe, I think you were streaming on Twitch a game, mm-hmm. and we were chatting, and I don't know if the Broly movie had just come out or it was about to come out, the latest Broly movie, and then you know you're like, oh, we should probably talk about Dragon Ball. And so I think that's just kind of what sparked us doing that episode, since the minisodes had to be recorded and stuff. But yeah, that was really fun. I love that. I mean, I had been listening to the show even way prior to that. So that was really fun to kind of come in and talk to you and Renee about that, especially because I love Dragon Ball. So, like, you know,
yeah,
right up my alley.
Yeah,
do you remember like when you started listening to the show? Just curious.
It was around maybe late 2015, early 2016, I think. I've told Mike this before, like where I messed up is that I started from the beginning. So when you guys announced that some of y'all were going to be at New York Comic Con 2016, which I was also at, I wasn't there yet. So I didn't know y'all were going to be there.
Yeah.
So we could have met a long, long time ago, and we might have probably just walked by each other.
I know.
Because I spent most of my time in Artist Alley, and I assume you guys probably did.
Oh yeah,
as well, because everything else was impossible to get into.
Yeah.
If you saw a guy with his head down walking 19 miles an hour, that was Mike.
Yeah, that was me.
There were plenty of those in New York. I think that just describes a regular New Yorker.
Yeah,
that's true. I wasn't thinking about that.
But yeah, no, you know, it's funny. We'd been talking a bunch, I think, in the past. Like, Danny, you had emailed us a ton over the years. And I think we finally were just like, like you said, it was like a live stream or something. And I was just like, all right, we just got to get this guy on the show. And it was a blast. And then after a while, I think we were trying to expand the show and we were trying to look for new voices and new folks to come on. And we reached out to you, Danny, because you'd been on the show and you were a blast and always like a very firm supporter of the show. And this episode 268 was like your official welcome to IRCB. Like, I think I'd sent you an email to say like, hey man, really love what you do, love to have you on the show. I think I wrote this very, very formal email of just like, we'd love to add you to the IRCB family. I don't think I said anything like that, but I was like, I really wanted to, you know, bring you into the fold and just like get you on our group DMs and like get you on Discord and all that other stuff. So episode 268 was your first one. It was titled, How Do You Choose the Format to Read Your Comics? Which I thought was a good one because I think I knew enough about how you read comics. I knew the weird style in which Nick read his comics. And we talked about, you know, our comic collecting habits, how they change, where we draw the line on physical versus digital or subscription when choosing. This is back when Comixology was still in full swing, you know, and I think we just talked about like how we go about choosing. Am I going to trade weight this? Am I going to pick this up, what, you know, right away? With the answer most of the time being like, if I really like this creator, I like this team, I'm going to buy the single issues. But I know, Danny, you buy a lot of stuff. I think it's almost a bit on our Discord of like, oh, yeah, it's a Danny-sized haul for comics every week. But yeah, I don't know if you remember that episode in particular, because this is, I feel like, we've talked about that many, many times. But yeah, I don't know if you had any thoughts there.
Yeah, that topic just feels, I mean, we just kind of talked about that a lot, like very frequently. Yeah. So I think we just finally decided to record one of the conversations, because this would come up like whenever we do the, you know, the Discord hangouts and stuff like that. But yeah, it's been so long now that
I know
it is funny. Like I used to think like, how can people that, you know, you're talking about this stuff, how can you not remember it? But then, you know, we're doing this and then my own show, like, yeah, I don't remember everything that I say, because a lot of the time I'm just saying kind of dumb things that, you know, from the top of my head.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's not like we plan everything out accordingly. So.
Yeah, little known fact about IRCB is that this is a scripted show.
And I will have forgotten my lines by tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, like, we've 400 plus episodes, you know, like, I think someone at C2E2 was trying to get me to get to an exact number for some reason. We're at the bar, we're sitting down, like, little random aside, we got pulled over to have a beer with Chip Mosier, who works over at Distillery, and Cully Hamner of all people. And like, we sat down and like Chip and Cully were like trying to get us to get to an exact number of how many episodes of our podcast we had. And I was like, I don't know, it's like 583, 587. And they were like, okay, well, that's a pretty good record for a comic book podcast. I'm like, what are you trying to do here? But yeah, it's really interesting to think like, yeah, we say so much, we go through the stuff. A lot of the times it's just in one ear, out the other kind of things, where it's like improv, where like it happens and then I never remember anything that happened until I go back and like listen to an episode. So I totally get that.
I remember if I say something stupid or embarrassing on the show, that stays with me for the rest of my life.
Right. Right. I make bold claims every once in a while, and then I never forget them in case someone ever wants to call me on them. But yeah, but we're here to talk about Danny, not to reminisce completely about IRCB. So I think the first question I've got is, so we talk about comics a lot on the show. Maybe people know that, maybe they don't. I don't know what you're doing listening to the show if you don't think we talk about comic books. But outside of comic books, what are you into, Danny? What other stuff like really gets you excited that isn't just comic books?
I will say a funny answer could really be nothing.
just flatten the show. Just be like, nothing. That's all I'm here to talk about, man.
That's right.
Yeah. Just goes into sleep mode.
Yeah. So as I was looking, this was a interesting question to answer because it really makes you think. It, you know, when you go to like a job interview and people try to tell you like, well, describe yourself. Like, I don't know what you want. There's a lot of me, right? There's a lot of things that I do, but what can I tell you that relates specifically to what we're talking about? So I think what I ended up on was like, I just really enjoy stories, right? In whatever format they come, except books.
yeah. Notorious prose hater, Danny. Yes.
Although, as I mentioned, if you missed out on our Patreon after credits last episode, I did start listening to a book. So, I mean, I think that's kind of a plus. So, you know, we'll keep you updated on that process. Maybe we'll have a book club.
Once a year, we'll have a book club. Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, stories in any kind of form. Like, so I go to a lot of movies. I love going to the theater. Like, I think one of the coolest things was when AMC did that membership and like three movies a week, like for $20 or whatever. Like, I'm in. Like, I'll get my money's worth out of that because I don't buy popcorn. That's what they do it for, right? But
right.
No, I can sit still for 2 hours and just, you know, not have to grab a snack or whatever. So yeah, movies. I watch a lot of TV and anime. I love anime. There's so many good things going on right now. So definitely that.
Do you have any favorite anime that you're watching right now?
Currently, I think Kaiju number 8 is my, it's so much fun.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yeah, it's really good. And then Go-Go Lucer Ranger is also really, really cool. If you like Power Rangers type of stuff, that one's really fun, which is weird because it's on hiatus this week because of a golf tournament. I've never heard of an anime golf delay.
What?
So,
I've heard of a golf anime.
And I think the other thing I love is playing board games. That's kind of one of the things that will definitely get me out of the house other than going to watch a movie. Like, I've been playing board games and card games, as I mentioned in the past. Like, I've been playing that Star Wars game a lot. The Star Wars Unlimited, like, we have, you know, tournaments and we meet up a couple times a week, and it's just really fun. Like, I love that interaction and kind of rebuilding that community, right? With comics, you can build a community, but it's not always that, like, you can't just always go to the store and kind of hang out. That's not
right.
Feasible for everyone to do at the same time. But with board games, you're there for that part of it, and that's kind of what gets you there. But like, just kind of hanging out and building the community, that's what keeps you there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that I love going to comic conventions and just like learning about stuff. One thing I didn't write down, but I just remember, I also love going to museums.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I got to go to DC for a work trip a few years ago. And I spent most of Saturday at the Smithsonian's. Like, I just tried to hit as many as I could before they closed down.
Nice.
So that was really cool. And yeah, we have some really nice museums here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So yeah, if I go to a city for whatever, a trip, I'll try to hit a comic book shop to check it out.
Of course.
And then also try to maybe go to a museum or something like that, or a park, or, you know, something like that. So
nice.
That's kind of what I do that's related to the show. Outside of that, I mean, I don't know. Normal adult boring stuff.
No, here's the thing. It's like, you know, what are things that give you, you know, joy outside of comics? I mean, it doesn't have to be comic book related. You know, we are people beyond just this one singular thing. I assure you, listeners.
Not this guy. This guy doesn't come in any variants.
Ironic, considering.
Yeah.
If you ever find yourself in Grand Rapids, Danny, it's only a 10-minute walk from Vault of Midnight to the Manhandle Museum. So,
great. I never thought I would have a reason to go up to Michigan, but knowing you guys, like, a lot of you guys are in that area, so. And then also a lot of there's a few comic creators that also live around the area.
Yeah,
because I think they were out of Vault of Midnight for Free Comic Book Day, so maybe. That would definitely be worth the trip, you know, to get to see all you guys. And
you time it right, Danny. You know, there's a big, pretty decent sized comic book convention that happens in Grand Rapids. So, I mean, who knows? Maybe we can knock like 4 or 5 things off your list in a row, right? Go to a comic shop, go to a museum, go to a comic book convention, right? Like,
and then meet up with everybody.
This could happen.
Come back, play board games.
Yeah. Oh, see,
I'll bring some of my
see my board game shelf sometime.
You guys can teach me how to play Pokemon. I just have cards. Yeah. I don't play.
Ooh. Well, I mean, but that's the thing. You're also pretty big into the Star Wars, you know, stuff. I know that you're not just Star Wars, but the Star Wars card game that just came out, right? Like, I've seen a lot of that stuff on your channel recently. Like, what got you so hyped on that card game versus any other card game?
So I used to play another card game. Well, it was Card and Dice, but it was just a trading card game as well for Star Wars right before COVID. And the game had a lot of issues, mainly like manufacturing, like having cards and that dice that go with the cards is very difficult, I think, when it comes to production. So the game had a lot of issues there. But then as they were kind of ramping up, COVID hit and the game unfortunately just died. And, you know, so I was like, that was one of the things I would always do every week, like go to one of those tournaments and hang out, or, you know, go to game nights. So this game is made by the same company, Fantasy Flight Games, which they have a spotty record sometimes. Mm-hmm. But it takes all the stuff that I loved about that other game, and then it streamlines it because it's just cards. There's no dice. They've been announcing stuff for set two, and I'm just very excited about all that. So, and then the other thing is people want content for that. And it's like, I'm already playing. People in the community are like, yeah, well, you can record the games. We don't mind. So like, it's been a lot of fun to kind of get into that. So it is not as cost prohibitive as comics, because it's like you buy cards one big expense every 4 months or so, right?
Yeah.
So, and you can make money too. There's some of these cards are ridiculously priced. I pulled a card the other day that was worth $400 on stream.
Whoa. Okay, well, you know what, that's awesome. And, you know, I'm actually curious, so like, tell us about the YouTube channel, right? So we know you work on the Next Issue podcast. You guys do like streams on Saturdays and stuff, but you do a ton of stuff outside of just like the podcast, right?
Yeah. So I didn't start Next Issue. I actually joined my friends Clay and Kyle. They had the show, and they were doing it through like this website, Dallas Radio or something like that. They invited me on a couple of times because I met the guys through the comic book club, the local for Dallas. And then, you know, unfortunately, they had some issues with that website or whatever. So they were like, well, we're just going to take this on our own. And they asked me to be a regular. And I was like, sure. Then when COVID hit, we couldn't record in person anymore. So mm-hmm. we're like, well, how do we keep this going? And then I discovered like, oh, why don't we just do it on YouTube? We'll do a remote. And, you know, I think a lot of tools became very accessible for like doing remote stuff like that, just out of necessity.
Oh, yeah.
So then I was like, okay, let's just do it on YouTube. I think we can find that different audience. And yeah, just anything that interests, whatever's on the channel is just anything that interests me. Like if I find it interesting, I'm going to make a video about it and share it because I want other people to discover it as well. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the driving force behind that. So the playlists on the videos are kind of a mess because it's just everything. But yeah, I just love sharing the stuff that I like to do with other people. And that's a very fun way to do it.
Right. And you know, the thing, I really want you to brag more about this, if only because you've grown that channel from a handful of viewers or handful of subscribers to like, what are you at? Like 2000, 3000 now? I can't remember.
Yeah. We're at like 2,600 now.
Yeah.
In maybe the past 3 years or so. Like, so it's nothing like crazy, but it's still like, we don't do anything consistent. Special, right? We just do like regular stuff. So it's fun to have people find an audience. There's been, I think the big thing that happened was the anime Trece, when that came out, that was adapted from a comic book from the Philippines. That really blew up the channel for some reason. And then when the Wheel of Time show came out, those, like, my brother told me offhand, like, oh, you should do a reaction to that trailer because people like that. And I was like, I didn't even know anything about it. And now I'm just an avid fan because not only do I like the show, but like it kind of blew up the channel as well. So there was
sure.
It was just kind of like being at the right place at the right time with random things.
Gotcha. I mean, still, but that takes a little bit of effort, right? Like, you've timed it, you record. I mean, you put out a ton of videos, you know, really like good quality videos and stuff every week. So like, I don't know, toot your own horn, man. It's good stuff.
Thanks, man.
But I guess, you know, okay, so we've talked about things outside of comic books. I guess the question that I like to ask everybody is, how did you get started on your comic reading journey? I think like way back in the day we had you on the show, I think I asked a similar question. But yeah, for folks who are maybe forgot or are listening now for the first time, like, how did you go from like, I'm interested in comics, to I'm buying comics every single week?
So it kind of happened in three different stages of life. So in middle school, there was a one of my teachers, Dr. Irwin, he was a science teacher, and for his class, as a reward, he would have like this big box of comics that, you know, if you did well in his class, you could go in and pick out a book or you could borrow some books. I remember I had some Excalibur comic that I remember, like, if I see that cover, it's somewhere in my boxes, but if I see that cover with Nightcrawler and the swords, like, mm-hmm, I'm gonna like, oh, that's it. So that's kind of what made me aware of comic books. But then I didn't really start reading comics till in college. I kept hearing about like those big events, like the Civil War and yeah, like all that stuff that was kind of happening with Marvel at the time. So, but I didn't know how to read that other than like, oh, you can go on the internet and read comics.
hey man, we all start that way. It's fine.
Yeah. Sorry, Marvel, but I promise you, like, you can see behind me, like, I buy way more comic books.
I feel like I made up for it. Yeah.
More than made up for it. So yeah, that was the other thing, right? And I remember very vividly this, like, it was either a GeoCities or an Angel Fire website that had all of Civil War, and I'm talking about like everything, all the times, everything. And mm-hmm, I was like, mm-hmm, oh, okay, well, I'm just gonna read through all these because I want to know what's going on. So that kind of really hooked me into comics, but I still didn't know like how to buy comics and how to like go to the comic shop. That was just not something I was aware of. And then once I graduated and I got a job and had some disposable income, I was like, oh, now I can actually go to a comic shop and set up a pull list and all that. So that kind of did it. And since 2012, I've had a pretty consistent pull list like all the way to now. So it's been a while. Nice. Now.
Yeah, I feel like your description is maybe many people's, you know, understanding of like comics, where you find out about something online and then you're like, oh wait, they actually like publish these things as magazines, yeah, that I can go buy somewhere, you know? Or maybe, you know, and you're just poor and, you know, I don't fault anybody for pirating comics if you don't have the money to do so. Fucking Marvel comic books are $6 each now. Well, some of them, but still, that makes sense. It's interesting. But like you, I guess when you first got in, was it straight to Batman or was it straight to somewhere else?
It was definitely Batman was one of the first things. So I picked, I think it was five different comics that I put on my pull list immediately. It was The New Avengers by Jonathan Hickman and Jock. Jock was doing covers. It was, I don't remember the artist in, but I was like, okay, that's one of them. And then it was also the Batman series, The Avengers, because also Jonathan Hickman was doing that. And then I think it was Teen Titans because they had just relaunched with the New 52. It was the Teen Titans that not a lot of people like, but I was like, oh, I like this. I like Tim Drake. Like, that's why he's my favorite Robin, because like he was the leader at the time of the Teen Titans. And then there was one other book. I think it was the AVX crossover that was going on at the time.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Yeah. That was like jumping into the deep end too. Cause I dropped in on issue zero. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Hey, listen, I was up to date and I didn't know what was going on. Danny, it's fine. Okay,
good. Doesn't make me feel so bad. But the cool thing is that I've been pretty lucky to have shops that are very friendly. Like most of the shops that I go around here are very accessible, very friendly. Now, I'm sure it helps that I'm a dude. It's so like,
sure,
I don't know. But they were very welcoming and they asked a lot of questions. But that led me to like, anytime I get asked about comics, and it's funny because people will reach out to me that I haven't seen since like college or high school. And they're like, hey, I know you like comics. I got a question for you. Like, my kid's trying to get into, you know, Miles or whatever. Like, can you recommend something?
Yeah.
So that's always fun. I've taken people to the comic shop for their first time to just kind of show them around. So like, I'm trying to make it as accessible, you know, build the bridges that weren't there for me, I guess, kind of when I started. So
totally.
Yeah. It's fun though. I love doing that. I love seeing people pick up a book, like just how excited they get because now they have their own pull list and all that. Little do they know that they're in for a world of pain, but they can find that out on their own.
You show up to the comic shop and be like, don't worry, this first one's on me. And then after that, it's over.
First dose is always free.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, now I got to get to the hard hitting questions here because I have to, knowing you, Danny. We're going to just go back to back. Who's your favorite X-Men character?
I struggled here. I really did. Mm-hmm. I think Jubilee, I think overall is my favorite. And I think it's definitely because of the animated series. It has nothing to do with the comics. I can't tell you like, oh, this is the Jubilee like run you have to read. Cause I don't even know that she has one. Maybe the one where she's a vampire and a mom at the same time. And she's trying to figure it out.
It's a pretty good run. Yeah.
But I think also magic is so cool. Like like the design of that character. It's super rad. So, like, I'll check out anything with magic. So, I think one of those two, or maybe both, for different reasons.
Okay, I dig it. I dig it. Real quick, then, this is tough. Your favorite character in the Batman line, is it Batman?
No, I think it's probably Tim Drake.
Okay,
because I think he even makes a better Batman than Bruce. So,
you know, I think there's plenty of people that agree with you there. But I guess on that same note, then, do you have a favorite Batman run?
Yes, I do. And it's the one that I kind of jumped into. So when I jumped into comics, they had just reset everything with the New 52. So Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo had just taken over the run. And I never missed out on an issue. Like everything that they did together, that whole run, I read it. So that's kind of like, I don't know. You never forget your first, I guess. That's, you know.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then, of course, I got to ask the last big question here that I've got is, who's your favorite Batman villain?
Oh, man. I don't know if people are going to hate me for this, but it's Joker. Like, the character is just as flexible as Batman, right? A lot of the Batman villains are just, like, different aspects of the Batman personality. But I think Joker, because he doesn't fit into any box, he's just like such a flexible villain that you can really do anything with him. Obviously he's done some hideous shit and I'm not like, yeah, I love the Joker cause he's so cool and I want to be like him. Like that is, it's not that. I just think the character, I understand why they keep making Joker stuff because it's easy to put him anywhere. Right. As opposed to like the Penguin, or like the Penguin, you kind of have to keep him in like the organized crime world, you know, or like, you know, Mr. Freeze, he was really good with the emotional stuff. So like, but the Joker, like, it doesn't matter what you do. Like, yeah, that could be like, it's plausible that that would be a thing that Joker does.
Sure. Joker can be your angle or your devil. Okay. okay. Last question.
That's the name of the episode, right?
we'll see. But final question then. I guess, Brian, I've been powering through all of the questions. I don't know if you had anything you wanted to throw at Danny before we wrap up into this last question here.
No, I think you've hit all the key beats.
Okay, cool.
Brian's like, I know enough now.
Yeah. I've lost enough respect, I think.
So for these episodes, the thing I like to do is I like to say, you know, Danny, you've been on the show for a long time. You've been listening to the show maybe longer than anybody else. I'd really love to know if there's anybody out there who's been listening to IRCB as long as you have. But you know us a little bit. If you could, Brian and I are here on the show today. What comic would you recommend for each of us? Sure. And I think, you know, I think you even added Nick was originally supposed to be on this episode. Yeah, I know you got one there, and Kara is proof listening. So let's go through your list here. I'd love to hear these explanations.
Let me start with them. Nick was originally supposed to be on the show, but you know, so something came up for him, which I guess is more important than me.
He has a family.
Yeah, I have a family.
I don't understand how his family is more important than me, but I guess we'll have to discuss that at the next business meeting.
Yes.
but for Nick, I was gonna originally recommend Gotham by Gaslight, but I feel like he's probably already read that. So instead, I'm recommending The Doom That Came to Gotham, which is also by Mike Mignola.
Okay.
I really, really went with the stereotypes on these guys.
That's fine.
Surface level stuff. For Kara, who's proof listening, I wanted to do Batman books for everyone, which is this is the only reason.
Of course.
Batman versus TMNT. I think it just fits. It just works. I did check online. I googled like, has Batman ever crossed over with Star Wars? That's not a thing that's happened officially.
I thought you were going to say, has Batman crossed over with Archie? Because that would also be an interesting one.
That would be an interesting thing, yeah. But the turtles were right there. So for Brian, I'm going to recommend Batman Gates of Gotham. This is a book that came out right before they reboot everything in the New 52. It's written by Scott Snyder and Kyle Higgins, illustrated by Trevor McCarthy. Now, this series revolves around like a decades-old mystery connected to the founding fathers of Gotham that leads up to the present day, right? So Batman has to assemble kind of a team of detectives to try to unravel like a conspiracy. And I just felt like that really felt like Brian to me. Like, I think the art is not steampunk, but it has some kind of feel because you do go back to that era in Gotham from back in the day. And I was like, this just feels like it'd be right up Brian's alley. So I don't know, Brian, mm-hmm. What do you think? Does that sound interesting?
I'm looking at the cover right now and that does look pretty sick.
Okay, cool. Nailed it. All right. And then for Mike, I was like, what is the most X-Men Batman book I can find? And I was like, well, let me tell you, for Mike, I picked the Batman Universe. This is a story written by Brian Michael Bendis and Nick Darrington.
Okay.
Now, I know we sometimes don't always like everything that Brian Michael Bendis does. Mm-hmm. But he did do X-Men for a long time. And Nick Darrington is an amazing artist. So those were already kind of two pluses for me. In this story, Batman is pushed to his limit as he sets on a search to find an item with incredible destructive powers and embarks on a journey across the DC universe. So what really made me interested in this was like, I want to show... So, Mike, I know you don't read as much DC as maybe other people. So this was kind of a sampler platter of like the DC universe that's going to look super cool. And I think Bendis is really good at capturing the voice of a lot of these characters that show up. And I was like, I don't want to make Mike read Batman Hush. He's probably already read that.
I have, and I didn't like it. I'll just say that, okay?
Yeah. So Batman Hush is interesting because it does introduce you to a lot of things in the DC universe as well through the lens of Batman.
Okay.
But I think this is, it's very interesting. And like I said, I love Nick Darrington. Like, his art is amazing. So if anything, you're going to have some really cool things to look at for that book, so...
Oh, man. And it's on DC Universe. Oh, man. Danny, am I reading this immediately after we get off the call?
I hope so.
I think that's what's going to happen today.
Yeah, well, I definitely already found Gates of Gotham on Hoopla.
Yeah. This is happening.
I also wanted to do books that were like pretty accessible. Like, all these are kind of not old, but like they're... I don't want to make you find like a one Detective Comics issue that only came out once. We'll save that for Paul's show.
I was going to say, what is this? The Better Batmobile show? Yeah. Oh, man. Well, you know, Danny, this is awesome. I very much appreciate you recommending these books and finding a way to connect Batman to all of us, you know, which is maybe the greatest gift that you could have bestowed on us today. But yeah, you know, I will say it's been a long few years. You've been on the show. It's been a pleasure. I can't wait to continue to make episodes with this show with you and everybody else here. But Brian, any last words here before we wrap?
He's already reading it.
Yeah, he's already reading. Brian's distracted. Well, cool. Well, thank you again, Danny, for this. You know, next week we're going to be off. There's a pre-recorded episode. It's going to be Kate, Renee, and Paloma. They did an entire episode about what manga they're reading and some manga recommendations. So if you're looking to jump into some stuff that is a little bit off the beaten path, that isn't just your top 10 shonen articles, I think this is going to be a really good episode. I listened to it. It is fantastic. Genuinely, it's some really good recommendations. And I knew that if I put these three together, something awesome would happen. So I'm excited for that. You should be too. I want to say thank you to Kara for proof listening. Thank you to Brian for being on the episode. Thank you to Danny for your continued just awesomeness and just being an incredible person. I'm so glad we got to do this episode today. And thank you to Xander for editing the show. I want to say thank you to everyone listening live. And until next time, comics are good, and so are you.